Welcome to the Northern Side of the Radio. I'm Amy.
I'm Emily, and this is the Northern Octopians podcast.
In this week's episode, we will be starting the Olivia arc with the episode called The Christmas Bells from Album 70, Finding a Way.
But first, our trivia segment, Who is Eugenius?
All right. Who is Eugenius? So this time around, I know last season Emily was quizzing me, and the season before that I was quizzing her. So this season, let's just quiz each other.
Yeah.
So why don't you go first?
Okay. Which Odyssey voice actor is also known for playing a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
Oh, Townsend Coleman.
Yeah.
Of course I knew that. Do I know which one? Isn't it like Michelangelo or something?
Yeah.
Look at that.
And just to be clear, neither of us have ever watched any of that stuff. I don't.
To be honest, I have no idea what it's about. I know it's like four turtles living in the depths of the city, but
Who like pizza.
And fighting.
Yeah.
Other than that, I have no idea. Like, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got that one right. So, 1 point for me. Okay, so mine, I'm going to bring back the albums where I just give you an album number, and you're going to give me the name, the episodes, the air date, which we all know, if you've listened to past episodes, we argue about this a lot, but I'm going off of the Odyssey Adventure Club.
It's called the Adventures in Odyssey Club, but whatever.
Okay, whatever. Genius. Or Eugenius. Anyway, so, and then you have to give me, did I say this? All the names of the episodes and the range. She usually gets the ranges somewhat not correct, but it's fine. Okay, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
So, album 39.
Ooh.
What's the title?
Friends, Family, and Countrymen.
Yep, that's right. What is the air date according to the OAC?
I'm pretty sure that one is 2003.
Yeah, you actually got that right. Okay, so list the albums, and then we'll do the range afterwards.
So the range is kind of tricky because it's got episodes in the 400s and the 500s.
Okay, so...
But, let's see. BTV Obedience.
Yep.
Relatively Annoying.
Yep.
The Popsicle Kid.
Yep.
Which are all in the 400s.
You are right. On that.
And then there's Between You and Me.
Yep.
Aubrey's Bathrobe.
Yep.
The Toy Man.
Yep.
For Trying Out Loud.
Such a good episode, yes.
The Benefit of the Doubt.
Yep.
The American Revelation Parts 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm. Two more.
The Pact. I don't know if that's the order.
Actually, you got it right.
I think I'm missing one.
No. You got all of them.
Oh, okay.
That was 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah.
And
you actually, like, listed it in the order that you scroll in the album.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you got the three episodes that were in the 400 range. What's the range for the 500 episodes?
I think it's, like... But I think these episodes kind of bounce around a little bit, but... I think it's like 503 to 515 or something like that.
You were so close. It's 503 to 512. And they actually are in order. No, actually 510 is missing.
What is 510? Do you know?
No. I haven't gone to that part yet.
Okay.
I'm listening to all the albums in order.
Because I know that, like, 513 is Do or Die, and it's in album 41.
Which I'm curious, what is 510? Oh, for the fun of it.
which is an album 40. Like, they don't put them.
No, and that's what I'm noticing. So
it's weird.
So, sorry, a little tangent. No, I'm listening to episodes in order, not albums in order this time. And it's crazy how many albums, like, overlap. So you have to wait for a certain amount of time to be able to listen to that one. So I think I'm on, like, episode 425. Maybe I should test you on what episodes are, what episode numbers each of them are. Do you want to take a wild stab at it? Sorry, I'm asking, like, two questions, but I'm curious.
425.
I'm actually curious if you would get this right.
I don't think I will.
Let me know if you want a hint.
Tell me what album it's in, at least.
Give me a second. Album 33.
Okay.
I would be very amazed if you got this.
Is it The Buck Starts Here?
No, it's Blackbird's Revenge Part 2.
Oh.
I just haven't sat down to listen to the second one. All right. Well, I think we can count this as we each get 1 point.
Great.
So I think we should just, like, consolidate all of our points over the course of this season and see at the very end who we can crown who is a genius. That would be so cool. Sorry.
And whoever wins buys the other one coffee.
All right, you're on. For a coffee? Done. All right, well, folks, you heard it here. We are now in a contest till the end of this season to see who is you genius of 2024. All right, up next is our episode review. Stay tuned. All right, so our episode review, we are doing Christmas Bells, starting Olivia's arc. I know last season we ended off in the middle of the Rydell saga, and to be honest, I think both of us just don't want to jump right into that saga right now. So maybe we'll cover it later on, but for now, we're just going to stick with Olivia because this was one that we had both wanted to do. So Emily, why don't you take it away?
So Christmas Bells is actually one of my all-time favorite recent episodes.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one too.
It really made me want to watch the movie I Heard Bells that came out a couple of Christmases ago, and I had a ticket, and then I got sick, and I never went, and I'm really mad about that still.
Yeah.
But this episode, I think, is just really, really good. I love the song. I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day.
Especially Mercy Me's version.
Actually, so I prefer Casting Crowns version. But.
Oh, I forgot they did a version. Oh.
Because it's got a choir and stuff.
Actually, you know what's really funny? We did the Casting Crowns version. I sang it with some of my friends in grade 12. And I forgot about that. Anyway, such a beautiful song. So it's kind of cool hearing the history behind it all and, like, how he wrote it.
I like that they use it as an excuse to just go over, like, Longfellow's life.
Yeah. And I loved the way that they interspersed, and we'll kind of get into this later, but they interspersed the different verses.
The verses and his other poetry as well.
Yeah. No, but for me, I loved how they got Pastor Knox to sing the different verses, so you kind of got to hear what it sounded like, because we don't normally get to hear the different verses of the...
Like, the ones that we don't sing at Christmas time, we don't get to hear those.
Yeah.
Okay,
so let's get into the episode. How does the episode start?
So, the episode starts with Wilson coming into Triple J Antiques for the first time, and being like, I was in my prayer time this morning, and I had an overwhelming feeling that I needed to be here at Triple J's today. And so Jason says, yeah, look around. And then he's about to go back to his paperwork, and then Zoe walks in.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I need help finding information for a history project and an article that I need to write. And in between those two things, Wilson finds the music box. That plays I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And it's playing while Zoe's talking. And he says, this might be something you could use. And she doesn't know the words.
Yeah.
And so Wilson starts singing it, which that is like, actually his version is probably my favorite version.
But yeah, he has such a good voice.
But it doesn't exist outside this episode.
Which sucks.
And that's, yeah, but it's like, it's Greg Jabara, who's a Tony Award winning actor. That's just amazing.
I also, I know we're talking about one episode, but I also love the fact that they use his singing voice for things.
Yeah.
Like, and you can tell he's on Broadway, but it's just, it's really cool hearing that.
He's amazing, and they need to use the singing voice more.
Yes.
And so Jason gets a book about it.
Yep.
And they start going through the events of Longfellow's life. Like, he has an easy time with his education. Because then Wilson sings the second verse, because Jason says that scholars make the case that each verse kind of represents a time in Longfellow's life.
Which I feel like you kind of get as they, like, as you go on, like, it, they, that, and that's, again, that's where you get the interspersing, is that a word?
I think so.
The interspersing of the different verses of the song with the different parts of his life, and I like how you can kind of connect that and kind of see for yourself and make up your own mind, but I feel like it's very true.
And if it's not his life, I think he was probably, I would say, thinking of the country, at least, like the states, like, because, like, first he talks about peaceful times and then wartime.
Oh, yeah.
So it could be that too, but I do agree that it does reflect his life probably to some extent.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, the fact that he wrote it, and sometimes I find that the best paintings or best songs or best, you name it, it's probably going to work, is usually ones that are written from personal experience.
Yeah.
So.
And so, what? Jason basically talks about how he sailed through school, published a bunch of works, learned multiple languages, became the professor of modern languages at Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
And he married a woman.
Oh, wait, is that the, like, Fiona? No.
That's Mary. The first, his first wife's name is Mary.
Okay.
Mary Storr Potter.
Okay.
And that, but 4 years after they get married, she suffers a miscarriage.
Right.
So she dies.
So sad.
And then they bring in, like, and then they bring in another verse that talks about the world revolving from night to day.
Which is one that I find I've heard.
Yeah, that's in a lot of the, that's in the versions.
Yeah.
At Christmas. And they talk about that referencing him falling in love again with Frances Fanny Appleton.
Oh, Fanny. I was trying to remember the name. And she was great. I loved her.
And so they meet in Switzerland, and he wants to marry her after knowing her for barely 3 weeks. And she's just like, what the heck?
She's like, no.
Well, I want to marry you, but we need to pursue proper courtship.
Which is fair.
And she makes him wait 1 year for every time in the conversation that he asks her to marry him.
Oh,
which ends up being seven.
Yes. Yeah.
Which
7.
And Zoe remarks that it's like something out of the Bible.
Yeah.
And then they get married and they have 6 children.
Hey, where have we heard that before?
Yeah.
And 6 children is a good amount.
Yeah. And then they talk about how he used to play with his daughters.
Oh, I love.
Which is really cute.
I loved hearing
and
that.
And I like how they bring in some of his other poetry.
Yeah.
Like I said, this episode really stimulates the poet in me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it shows him playing with his daughters, and then unfortunately things take a bit of a tragic turn, because through a series of events one day, Fanny's dress catches on fire.
Oh yeah.
And she dies.
So sad.
Probably from smoke inhalation, I would imagine.
Probably.
Or
burns.
But he never fully recovers from her death.
Wait, does his daughters don't die, do they?
No.
It was just her.
And the daughter that his other wife miscarried.
Right. Yeah.
And then his son wants to join the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to join the Union Army, I should say.
Yeah.
And his father doesn't want him to, because he doesn't think he's old enough, even though he actually, like, legally is at this point, I think. I think part of it is also, he's just lost so much.
Yeah. Which is, like, fair.
Yeah.
I
mean, they don't say it, but I feel like it's in the subtext.
Yeah.
But
that probably isn't something to put in a children's quote-unquote children's show.
I mean, they put a couple of deaths in here already.
No, I know, but you don't have to always go into so much detail with kids. And like I said, quote-unquote.
They can also pick it up pretty easily.
Yeah.
Anyway.
As they grow up.
So, but Charlie, his oldest son, runs away and
yep.
joins the army. And gets promoted to lieutenant and transferred to the cavalry.
Nice. Good for him.
And on a mine run campaign in New Hope Church, Virginia, he gets wounded.
Mm-hmm. And then he comes back home.
Yeah, his father finds him, because he eventually writes to his father.
Yeah.
So they contact him when he gets wounded and he goes home. He can't feel his legs. So Christmas Eve is 1864.
I love how you know that.
Well, the war ends in April 1865, so.
Okay, fair.
Or it could be 60. You know what? I don't know. I'll have to look that up, but I'm pretty sure it's either 63 or 64. I don't know.
I should know it, but I don't.
It's, anyway, so Christmas Eve that winter, whichever winter it was, Longfellow is, like, really broken up about everything.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks God isn't listening or is dead.
Yeah.
You know, and then in the morning, Charlie can actually sit up.
Yeah. Yeah, because doesn't he have that, like, he's, like, wrestling with God a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So in the morning, he sits up.
Yeah.
And is able to move.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. I just like hearing stories like that.
Yeah. I don't think we see enough of them. And so that's when he sings the final verse.
Which is, again, one of the ones that we hear.
I think it's the most iconic, I would argue.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Yeah.
such a good song.
I will sometimes listen to, I will listen to this episode when it's not Christmas time.
You're talking to someone who's actually contemplating starting to listen to Christmas music in, October. Reasons that I would love to get into, but
our older sister will start listening to it on Halloween.
No. I'm thinking October 1st. Once we get through September, October.
No, I listen to this episode whenever I feel like it. And sometimes I pull up the song just because.
I'm not judging you. I feel like you're judging yourself, but I'm not judging you.
Even Phil Lawler says that this isn't a Christmas episode.
No, I would not call it a Christmas episode.
He thinks that the most important thing about it is that it highlights the importance of poetry in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I've had an online conversation with him about this.
Of course you have. Because you're Emily. Of course you have.
But, yeah, I really like this episode. And then, as we finish up with the story, Zoe says that this is good for her article and her history project, which is a really good idea to decide on your history project without talking to your partners first.
I don't know. I never even had that option.
She says that she has a couple people as partners. She says that Olivia and Emily are her partners.
Yeah.
And then she leaves. And Wilson says that he also, that when he was praying that morning, not only did he get the urge to come to Triple J, but he tells Jason that God told him, one of three will fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the episode ends.
So, and then we also find out that Zoe's partners are Emily and Olivia.
I already said that.
I don't think you did. Yeah. Well, that's fine. I'm just reiterating it then, if it was said. Yeah, so it's either, at this point, we are very confused
who it will be. When it first came out, I thought it was going to be Emily. Because
me too, actually.
Bridal stuff.
Yeah. But I was like, I don't know, I don't think it's Zoe because we just listened, she just heard all this, and I feel like, I don't know, unless it had something to do with the story, but.
So, yeah, at that point, we're just kind of okay, Wilson's channeling some wit and Jack energy here.
It's kind of bringing me back to, that whole story arc where Wit was fainting, having those spells, and we're just like, what is going on here? Why is he fainting? And then we find out later it was something spiritual. So I was like, that's kind of interesting. But I mean, hey, I feel like some people.
I feel like this one is more grounded though.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
The fainting thing, I always just kind of went, really, guys?
Hey, I mean,
but
I've heard weirder things. I know someone who throws up when there's spiritual things.
I guess I've always kind of, seen it where, physical things can cause spiritual issues. I've never really seen it go the other way.
Oh, no, for me, I always get what do you call it? I wouldn't say nauseous, but it just, I feel it in the pit of my stomach. And I'm always like, what is happening here? So, I feel like spiritual things can be physical.
Yes.
It can appear physically, but it's knowing what it is, and then you know when that happens. You're like, okay, God, I got it. I will leave now. Or I will deal with this, or I will pray, or,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's cool. And like I said, I feel like I really enjoyed this episode, and I never grow tired of listening to it. Mm-hmm. Because it has that, musical aspect to it where he's singing the verses as you're going through, and it's kind of cool hearing about somebody like Longfellow, because I don't really think, other than Odyssey, I don't think I would have known too much about him.
Yeah, I didn't. This actually encouraged me to buy an ebook of some of his poetry.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
I think the only other time I did a slight bit of research on him was like long before this episode aired, but it was back when our younger siblings and I used to film those Christmas. We don't need to go into those, but we filmed Christmas videos, and it was like a BTV-esque idea because it had the different like skits and stuff. And one of them was talking about different Christmas carols and the history behind them. So we did like a brief one on I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. But it didn't go this in depth. So this was kind of cool to hear, like, the more in-depth version. And if I was to redo it, which I probably will never, now I know more information.
Because you probably wouldn't be able to get them to do that again. They're definitely too old.
They are.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the only thing that I remember from that was that he wrote the poem about his son after his son was in the war. I think that was, like, all we said or something. Because, you know, I was working with, like, young kids at the time, like, under the age of 10. So, you can only do so much with them. Okay.
But they were adorable.
Oh, yes, they were.
Hi, guys, if you're listening.
Do you really think they would listen to us?
Maybe.
I don't know. We'll find out. Okay, so if you want to join in on the conversation, feel free to comment down below on whatever platform you're listening on, or ask us a question, or I don't know.
I'm pretty sure you can only comment on Spotify.
I love that you're a little bit more tech savvy than me, because I honestly have no idea.
and maybe on Anchor, but I'm not sure about that.
Yeah. But also you can email us at Northern Odysseans.
ODYSSIANS@gmail.com
And we'd love to hear from you. Comment your thoughts on this episode. We'd actually love to hear it. I think that'd be kind of cool if we could read out people's thoughts on past episodes that we've covered. Anything else you want to say, Anne?
No, I think we've covered everything.
Cool. So yeah, we're going to kind of do a different format for this season. We're just going to cover one episode, Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, All right. Signing off. Stay tuned for next week's episode, where we continue the Olivia arc with Higher Than Her Waves from album 71, A Slippery Slope.
If you have any trivia questions for us or would like to comment on things we've talked about, you can email us at NorthernOdysseans,
ODYSSIANS@gmail.com. Thank you for joining us on the northern side of the radio. I'm Amy.
I'm Emily.
Keep listening.